Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Zarin.
Elizabeth.
Check it out.
Yeah.
You know what's ridiculous?
Oh my God, girl. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mosquitoes.
They are so... I hate mosquitoes.
I mean, they're annoying.
I don't know who loves them, but...
Yeah. I know someone actually likes and enjoys mosquito bites.
Okay.
They like how they get the feeling, the annoyance. Anyway, they're weird. But my point is, mosquitoes, I just found out recently, are attracted to all my favorite foods.
Huh.
Yeah. They're attracted to bananas.
Okay.
They're attracted to dried fruit.
Yeah.
Beer. I mean, this is my diet.
Like,
what am I supposed to do?
They love me. I am so sweet for them.
Oh, really?
I'm delicious to mosquitoes.
What type of blood do you have?
Red.
No, like A, B, O, do you know?
D.
Do you know what, honestly, do you know what kind?
Whole blood.
Because mosquitoes are attracted to O blood way more than any of the other blood.
No, I think I'm like A, B, C, D.
If you have type O blood, you're 83% more likely to attract mosquitoes.
Really?
Yes. I've been over here just investigating mosquitoes, trying to find out how I can get around them.
Yeah, right?
I'm just going to wear all long sleeves.
Dude, I've been like covered in mosquito bites once.
Really?
Like. Painfully. In fact, one time I got mosquito bites so badly all over my bare legs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to fly out and go to someone's wedding.
Ooh.
And I had a dress.
Ooh.
I don't usually wear dresses.
No.
I had a dress that like went to my knees.
Oh, no.
And, you know, friend of the show, Sarah Tassioni, Golden, she spent like 2 hours trying to use concealer.
Hiding your leg measles.
Have I not heard of stockings? But I planned,
the thick granny
well,
stockings?
I planned to wear these open-toe shoes, open-toe heels, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to do that open-toe with stockings.
Yeah.
And then someone was at the wedding with open-toe and stockings, and all of us were pointing and laughing. So better to just go with like totally disgusting pockmarked legs.
You know what that is? Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Yes. Do you want to know what else is ridiculous?
Dude, that's why I showed up.
Orgies.
What?
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
I know you heard that.
British 80s and 90s tabloid culture.
Oh, my God.
It was a thing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was vicious.
It was a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
You know, there's all the gossip that mm-hmm. they had about, like, the royals.
The Page Six stuff?
Yeah, or, yeah, it was, like, the Bazoomba gals in
oh, yeah.
the bikini.
Uh-huh. That's where they have the nudity in the paper?
Yeah, Charles and Di.
Oh, all Charles and Di. Thing. Oh, yeah.
Remember Tatler magazine?
Yes.
It's still there.
Yep.
They would spill the goods on, like, the upper class.
They hated Fergie, that redheaded unfortunate.
Whew, poor dear. And then there were, like, the Sloan Rangers. Are you, do you know that, what they're called? You're
no.
familiar with that term?
I am familiar with the term.
So a Sloan Ranger is like an upper middle class, upper class woman who mm-hmm. dresses and acts and vacations and plays, like just like her peer group. It's sort of like an early influencer.
Oh.
So they have this look. It's super uniform and preppy.
Yes,
and expensive.
That's what I remember is the preppy.
Yeah, think of like a crisp white shirt and like blazers and, a,
sure.
and riding
blazers,
boots.
Definitely blazers and the riding boots.
And like
totally.
Blonde hair in a low pony.
Okay.
Which, like, there's a comedian who does this thing about how, like, when you see low pony on, like, a celebrity or a model, it looks so cool, and you do it, you put it on, and you look like one of the founding fathers. That's me. That's the problem I have. But, like, classic styles for the okay. Sloan Rangers, sure. like an Hermes scarf and, like, whatever.
Mm.
In the U.S., the look is called preppy.
Yes.
In France, it's called bon chic, bon genre.
Bon chic, bon genre?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Princess Di was ne plus ultra.
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah. She was the peak, the pinnacle Princess Di. A boy Sloan was called a Rah for Hoorah Harry.
What?
He's a real Hoorah Harry.
Rah, just R-A?
R-A-H.
Oh, like, okay, it like, does have an H, Hoorah, yeah.
So, the name Sloan Ranger comes from Sloan Square in Chelsea in London.
Oh.
That's where the rich folks live and hang out. And so the name was created in 1975 in an article in Harper's and Queen magazine. And in the 80s, it was the look.
Yes.
That was it.
Familiar.
And in the 80s, there were lots of parties and fabulous places that catered to the Sloan Rangers. One empresario who showed them a good time was a man named Edward Ormus Sherrington Davenport.
That's a serious name.
Edward Ormus Sherrington Davenport.
Wow.
Lord Edward Davenport, a.k.a. Fast Eddie.
Fast Eddie.
Fast Eddie.
I like it.
So who's this Fast Eddie, right? Let me give you a breakdown. He was born in 1966 in Kensington, London.
I know Kensington,
Shagadelic,
yes.
baby.
Yes, totally Whatever. Funny, baby.
So he went to something called a crammer.
Ooh, that sounds...
I'm loving this. Where do you go? I go to a crammer. They're private prep schools that specialize in prepping students for entrance exams to college.
Like just cramming
it's
them into
like
college?
It's not like Kumon, but it's like a college prep. Because like cramming, like studying.
Yeah, okay.
And they're just going to cram
it in there.
So it was a posh school.
All right.
And he's surrounded by posh kids.
You say so?
He wasn't poor, but he wasn't at their level.
Yeah, I'm guessing that.
So the first gig he had, the first job he ever came up with for himself is he would like go walking on down, tootling to the local shops. He'd buy a bunch of candy and then he'd tootle on back to the school and sell it to all the rich kids at a major markup because they were too lazy to hoof it down to the shops and pick up like an Aero bar.
I did the exact same thing. It's what got me kicked out of the Boy Scouts.
See,
it's
there you go.
Literally what got me kicked out of the Boy Scouts.
So he started to see that he could make money and it wasn't too hard.
Yeah, no, it's
pretty easy gig.
The laziness is a great way to make money. Other people's laziness,
perfect,
pays.
Perfect. That's most of like what you see the products.
Totally.
See.
A lot of services are based on that.
Yeah. So he starts selling cheap jeans at the Portobello Road Market.
Have you ever Portobello been to... Road. Yes.
It's fantastic. I love it. Anyway, he wanted to make
money. Is it Bedknobs and Broomsticks that has that song, Portobello Road?
I
think it is. Anyway, I like
They're
that.
Famous for their mushrooms.
Oh.
No, so he wanted to make money. He wanted to have a good time making money.
Okay.
I mean, isn't that the goal?
Sure,
Do
yeah.
what you love.
Don't be here for a long time, but for a good time?
That's me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wanted to surround himself with the swells.
Okay.
He wanted to be one of the swells.
Sure.
So
Squeeze
one
in
year...
There.
In his late teens, he threw himself a birthday party.
Mm.
It was massive, extravagant. Everyone loved it. And the rich kids begged him to throw another one. Please. It was so fun. But the party, it costs serious money to put on big parties.
Oh, I bet. Especially if you're trying to impress the swells.
And that's the problem. Like when you throw a good party and then everyone's like, oh, we should do that again. And like you throw a good dinner party and then suddenly everyone wants to have the dinner party at your house. And you're like, guys, it's going to be a potluck. And they're like, that's not the kind of way you party. I'm like, I know. So, okay, I'll just eat the cost. He thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it costs a lot of money, but I could actually make money on this. I'm going to charge admission.
Oh.
So in 1983, he's 19 years old. Fast Eddie, he co-founded a party company with a pal of his named Jeremy Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
They gave it a great name. They called it Gatecrasher Limited.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Lord and Taylor.
Oh, wow. Good one. Close.
No?
I know. So they put together all these amazing bacchanalia.
Oh,
right?
Nice. I love bacchanalia.
Well, they'd invite boys from the boys' school.
Okay.
Girls from the girls' school.
That does work out well.
Yeah, I went to a girls' school. Yeah. I know, you know, you just short circuit when you see a boy.
A man!
It's like, we used to have like exchange days where all the Catholic schools would kind of, you'd send students around as like your representatives to like show that you're logical, good people.
Do you guys have, we did the thing where we would exchange basically, like we had a really big pool at Jesuit, so the girls' school didn't have a big pool, so they would come over and do their swim practice at our school. And let me tell you, the stands were full of people rooting for the women's swim team of St. Francis.
I never got sent out to another school. They were just like, no, that's not a good idea. We don't want them to know this is what we're like. And so they'd like, you know, exemplary Catholic youth would be sent to other schools. And then exemplary Catholic youth show up at our school. And when the boys from the boys' school or one of the co-ed schools, Bishop O'Dowd is a co-ed school, they'd show up. It was just like we would literally, like our brains short-circuited. Yeah. Smoke came out of our ears. Just like, I can't function. There's a boy here. Like
the pheromones are going
off. Yeah, and we're just like, everyone's like, they can't focus.
I feel like I'm wearing too many clothes. Should I take off some of these clothes?
The nuns are on their like last nerve. They can't take it with us. And they're just like, whatever. We're just, you know, you're old enough to do work, but here's a coloring book. I can't with you today. Yeah. So anyway, so that's what he's doing. He's organizing this. Mm-hmm. It's not exemplary Catholic youth.
Though. I got
it's just, yeah, rich kids. So boys' school, girls' school, booze, great music. Mm-hmm. And so they're not like parties at someone's flat or like a local parish hall. Mm-hmm. He has them at country homes with names like Longleat and Weston Park.
Oh, wow.
Like Biggins.
Yeah, like Lord's Manors.
Like some Downton Abbey kind
of. Yeah, exactly. I've never seen the show, but I know what you mean.
Sure. I don't watch TV. Yeah. So they weren't small affairs because these are big places. Some of them had 10,000 people there.
Oh, wow. They're small villages of partying.
Exactly. So with crowds that big, you know he's making money.
Oh, God. I hope so.
Try £250,000 per year on for Size Zarin.
Wow.
Yeah. And at its peak, the company.
He was making 100 tons?
Yes, at his peak, which is just pounds of like blubber. At its peak, the company made £1 million a year on these things, pounds sterling.
Oh.
Yeah. Peter York. You don't know him, but he's
don't know who I know.
He's a social, maybe is he a personal
friend?
No, I
don't know him.
Social commentator, and he's the co-author of the Sloan Rangers Handbook.
Get out.
So good. He described the scene, quote, "They were an instant rave for Sloan Rangers, but with a real kind of car dealer's feel to them. It's a good money spinner, a way to make a fast buck. It's having all the technology and ideology of raves, but each time you read about it, it's presented as a posh ball, sending a signal to certain types of parents and their children. It just goes to show that the aspirations of the Sloan Ranger days are not dead. There are still kids who want to be with their own kind."
Oh, I caught that last line.
Yeah, and of course, this wasn't just happy times in a strobe-lit mansion.
No.
Reporter Alexander Reynolds said, quote, "I finally met him," he's talking about Fast Eddie,
okay,
"in 1987 when I was working as a teenage correspondent for Punch magazine, where, full disclosure, my dad was the arts editor. I saw him walking along King's Road one sunny day. He was thin, very thin, light gray double-breasted suit, gelled back hair, smile like a Halloween skull. I knew the guy he was with and homed in for an introduction. He gave me a part-time job taking photos at the Gatecrasher balls. At age 17, I thought the gig would be one big, long Gatsby mansion romance where simplicity of heart would be its own ticket of admission. Boy, was I wrong." So, I must say that the first time I read the quote, I read "smile like a Halloween skull" as "smells like a Halloween skull."
Ooh.
And I spent perhaps too much time wondering what that would smell like.
And why Nirvana rejected it as a song title.
And then I reread the sentence and I felt really stupid. So I thought I'd tell everyone about how stupid I am.
I like that this is pre like any Heath Ledger movie as the Joker. So you didn't say Joker smile.
No, now you say Joker like smile. Yeah, exactly. And so Reynolds, he says he was wrong to think that it was a big, long Gatsby mansion romance. Nope, this is a business.
Oh, yeah.
And while it was businessing very well.
By order of the Sloan Raiders. Sorry.
It's businessing very well,
yes,
but it's not businessing very well.
Oh.
So there was
good
a
distinction.
Customs and excise audit,
mm-hmm,
and it was not a clean one. It revealed that Fast Eddie had underpaid his VAT bill.
Oh, value-added tax.
Value-added tax, yeah. So it's assessed incrementally, and it's levied on the price of a product or a service, whatever, at each stage of production, distribution, and then or sale to the end customer. So Fast Eddie Davenport, he understated his tax returns by, you know, almost 25,000 pounds. And he also lied and said that only £3.50 of the 14-pound entry fee for the Gatecrashers Ball was liable for VAT.
Oh, okay.
According to him, the other £10.50 was for raffle tickets, a magazine subscription, and postage.
So it was non-taxable is what he's saying.
That's what he's saying.
But he's like, it's for snacks.
The Crown prosecutor was like, yes, in the Crown prosecutor legal business, we call that cheating. So November 1990... Davenport, he gets convicted of tax evasion and he's sentenced to 9 months in jail.
So the end of the 80s for him.
Yeah. However, the sentence was reduced on appeal to a 9-month suspended sentence for tax fraud and he served only 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
So in a 2006 interview with Tatler magazine, Davenport was asked how he coped with those 2 weeks.
Oh, yes. Please tell us. How did you manage? How many tattoos did you get?
Quote, boring. There aren't many parties there. I learned nothing from my experience in there. Anything you do, you have to make sure is within the law. You can do things within the law and make money. Now we are very careful to make sure that we are playing by the rules.
Someone should have asked him what he thought of toilet wine.
Well, a little Pruno. Then he said, quote, basically, Gatecrasher was bloody good fun. I enjoyed every moment of it and was incredibly naive about things like VAT. When you're 19 and making money, you don't think about tax.
This is true.
That's very true. So the conviction wasn't the only problem that Gatecrasher Limited had at the time. The tabloids started running pictures of the parties. So there's little Bertie Sharpington Millworks Cox with her knockers hanging out, dancing with Clancy Wilkes Pemberton Masters. The families were not pleased, Zarin, and thus died the Gatecrasher parties.
Oh,
no. No worries, bro. Fast Eddie Davenport is full of ideas.
So
he started a luxury pawn brokering business, which is kind of genius,
smart, yeah.
Right? So he traveled.
He's ahead of the times,
he traveled
honestly.
In those circles.
Yeah.
And so he could be there for those who needed like quick buck. You know, it's the people whose parents like, you know, didn't know about all these, you know, debts or like the people who live in big rambling estates that have little or no cash flow.
Sure, but they've got nice old silver.
Yeah. So he handled mostly jewelry and he did cars. So like emeralds, pearls, BMWs.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Like you got a Benz or whatever, a Bentley, and you need to move it.
Right. So this is what he said about it. Quote, I'm opening a new office to deal with loans of £25,000 and above. This is an ideal service. If people need cash in a hurry, I give it to them. There are no questions asked. All they have to do is leave something of worth and we're happy. At any one time, I will have about 60 cars in storage. You know, Monte Carlo would be a fantastic place to set up shop. All those casinos, the potential for lending is massive. You should really go one day. Yeah. So the clients who wanted to be able to reclaim their belongings, they had like a minimum of 5% interest a month on the loan.
That's actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And for that being basically the VIG on this, like it's 5%.
That's okay. So he's doing well. And he wanted to add to that. So he went out and he got a manorial title of the village of Gifford in Shropshire.
So now he's the manored land.
Yeah. And that allowed him to call himself Lord Edward.
Okay. There he's landed now.
Yeah. He's not a member of the peerage.
No, no.
But he's, yeah, he's landed.
He's landed. He has the, yeah.
Yeah. So he's Fast Eddie, he's Lord Eddie, he's Shady Eddie. In 1996, he moves on to another venture. He'd take out leases on bars, pubs, nightclubs in London, and then he'd turn around and rent them out. So he's like basically subletting.
Oh, God.
For tenants that didn't know they were subletting.
Yes.
And he'd, you know, get a tidy profit because he's jacking the price. He said himself, quote, now I've returned to London to do what I do best, buying leases on loss, making properties, returning them to a profit, and then selling them. My new company bought Bar Circa from Allied Dominique when it was losing £100,000 a year, and we already have made it profitable.
I like how he sees value that others don't see, and then he goes to the people who don't see the value and goes, you want to buy this?
Yeah, precisely. And so it's just that his company wasn't buying.
Yeah,
you
renting,
know, they
leased. Leasing, and yeah.
And so like sniffing a story, BBC gets in on it. Mm-hmm. You know, come to find out, he was increasing the rent with sometimes no more than 2 weeks' notice. And he'd come up with new terms and then threaten to evict the club if they didn't comply. So it isn't like if you're living in a crappy apartment, you can just move out if the landlord's terrible.
You have a business. Yeah, you're tied to it.
You can't just move it. It's your livelihood. Mm-hmm. So he played it even closer to the bone and started like failing to pay his own rent to the actual owners.
Oh, no.
He just pocketed the rent from the club or bar. And then the real landlord comes calling.
I had this happen with a landlord. I live with a guy who I was giving him the rent and he wasn't giving it to the landlord. One day the landlord showed up and said, "You're all evicted."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What?"
Right. Okay, so that's what Eddie's doing.
Yes, I feel.
Davenport, he denies the claims. He said, quote, "It was a very far-fetched piece. It was really, really irrelevant programming," talking about the BBC investigation. Investigators with the Department of Trade and Industry, as well as the cops, they got together and they raided Fast Eddie's house in 2006.
Good for them.
And that was in connection with two property companies that went under, still owing millions of pounds.
Okay.
Action was taken against an audit firm, but Davenport avoided any legal proceedings. Why?
Why?
He did everything through an intermediary. His name was never on anything. He never spoke directly to anybody.
He's going real British gangster.
Yes, completely. So 1998, he, along with two others, they posed as aristocrats, and they ran up an 18,000-pound bill at Glen Eagles. You know Glen Eagles,
the
luxury resort
in
Scotland, yeah. Five-day New Year's Eve party. Then they skip out on the bill.
Wow.
And he was facing charges for that. But everything gets dropped when he just failed to show up in court.
Does Guy Ritchie know this story? Because, like, he would
love
it.
Oh, my God. So his lawyers deliver a doctor's note that said he was experiencing renal failure and was on kidney dialysis.
Okay.
Thing
that
is,
old move?
But he wasn't lying.
Oh, he really was?
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure how that excuses not paying for a five-day party. But, you know, you do you.
Okay, whatever. You know.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, Sierra Leone will enter the chat.
What?
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Zarin.
Elizabeth.
I was telling you about Fast Eddie Ormus Sherrington Davenport.
Oh, yes. Lord Davenport.
His party empire. And then I mentioned Sierra Leone.
You did. I remember. I wrote
it
down.
What's up with that?
What is up with
that?
Why? That mountain lion.
Let me tell you. in the 90s, mm-hmm. Sierra Leone was in the middle of a terrible civil war.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
And, child soldiers, the whole bit.
Oh, God. Yeah. Things were about to get worse than an already terrible situation when in 1997, there was a coup to overthrow the president, and then the UN and British forces came in to help squash it.
Hmm.
Did you know that this made UK Prime Minister Tony Blair a sort of hero to the people of Sierra Leone?
I did not, but I do know that Tony Blair is a hero to some people that will surprise you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Interesting times we live in. But let's go back a tiny bit to 1996.
Okay.
So the civil war is raging. Mm-hmm. Government finances are thinning.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, Fast Eddie Davenport gets approached by the cash-strapped government of Sierra Leone.
What?
So he meets with the foreign minister and high commissioner of Sierra Leone, Professor Cyril Foray.
Uh-huh.
Foray laid out his problem. The High Commission building, basically the embassy, was a wreck. It was a huge mansion at 33 Portland Place, built in 1775. In its glory, it was an unbelievable building, but it had been neglected. And
it's older than America, and it's probably been falling down.
But Sierra Leone government couldn't afford to fix it up. And it wasn't just fixing it up. They couldn't make their rent.
Oh.
They didn't even own it. No.
We're talking renovations.
But they still had 20 years on the lease.
What kind of lease was this?
I don't know. So they couldn't just walk away from it, right?
Of course.
So what are they going to do? They need Fast Eddie.
Okay.
1997 rolls around. The coup takes place, and then it's put down. Sierra Leone government is trying to get UN peacekeepers to come and assist the British, who are just holding everything down.
Mm-hmm.
In 1999, Davenport makes a deal with the Sierra Leone government. He said he would rehab the building with the condition that he would provide alternative offices for the High Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And then a clause in the contract allowed Sierra Leone to buy back the property for £1.5 million the next year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I hear it.
So that next year.
I hear that. Right. You said buy back.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Go on.
Next year came and went.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't like they're just sitting on their thumbs in West Africa. Like between 1991 and 2001, 50,000 people were killed in this civil war.
Damn.
And hundreds of thousands of people were forced to leave their homes and become refugees. They went to, you know, Liberia.
Yeah.
In 2001, the government was busy, Zarin.
Yes.
So UN forces, they arrive. They're taking rebel-held areas and disarming the rebel soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they've got 33 Portland Place. That's the least of their worries. A building they couldn't even afford to buy back. They're not thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So since the government hadn't paid him the $1.5 million to take control of the building, Davenport says, it's his. Mine.
Yeah.
It's now mine. And he made it his base in London. He made it his private residence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the government of Sierra Leone, they took legal action against him.
Okay.
They accused him of exploiting the chaos in their country.
Yes, he did, yeah.
In order to cheat him out of the 24-bedroom, five-story mansion.
Five? Damn, that's a big house.
Yeah, it's huge. And they also said that he conspired with the then high commissioner to get the property on the cheap.
Oh,
so instead of
that
fight,
old story,
and the guy doesn't fight the accusation, he just resigns. Professor Foray.
Oh, look, African corruption.
So, see, Davenport, he got possession of it from Sierra Leone for £50,000.
Oh my God!
He's like, I'll give you £50,000 for it. It's worth £5 million at the time.
He's like, you know, my people have traditionally exploited your people.
Exactly.
I'd like to keep traditions going.
Let's just keep it going. Come on, for old times' sake. Lawyers for Sierra Leone, they issued a writ in London that said Davenport had masked the true value of the property. Uh-huh. But remember, the place was run down. And so an independent appraiser comes, commissioned by the Sierra Leone government.
Okay.
He said the government's interest in the building was like pretty much worthless because Davenport had renovated the place completely, doing more than $1.3 million in repairs. So Davenport pours all this money into it to fix it up. And they're like, Sierra Leone, you couldn't make the rent. You couldn't pay him the $1.5 million to get it back.
And you can't afford this.
You're out of this.
Uh-huh.
This is what Davenport said about it. Quote, it has been a frightening experience. The government of Sierra Leone.
For him.
Yeah. The government of Sierra Leone approached me to help them out. And I did. They had no money and needed to sell the house, which was in a very bad state of repair. Not many people would have taken the risk of dealing with the Sierra Leone government. Obviously, as a property developer, I wanted to make a profit on the house, and I still think I can, but there's no guarantee. It is a few years off before I can say whether it will be a bargain. In the meantime, I won't be going on holiday in Sierra Leone.
Talking to the press does this man no favors.
Never. Okay, so.
He sounds so bad every time he talks.
Well, there are ways of doing business that are within the law, technically. But those ways are always pretty much low.
Unethical, you know?
This was low. This was a low thing to do. The government was struggling. He took advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's the nature of the game.
And then pleaded innocence.
Yeah, but it's low.
And fear.
Yes. And that's the thing about this guy. Like, a lot of times he's within the law, but he just lacks integrity and empathy.
Yeah.
Like, he feels nothing.
Legal don't make it just.
So it wasn't enough that he got one over on an entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to celebrate this.
How so?
He threw a I won in court party in Monaco, his second home. And it was like a who's who of late 90s, early 2000 B-listers.
Okay.
Pink.
Oh, wow.
Macy Gray.
Oh.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Macy Gray with the funny voice, Macy Gray.
Oh, yeah. And like, think about the timing of it. It's like, she's a little bit cuckoo.
Yeah.
Which, you know, God bless. So they're all there. In describing the party, this is how he said, quote, "It all got a bit out of hand. We all started smashing plates and throwing chairs in the fire."
What?
"I'm expanding into private equities. Any parties I throw now will be private ones. I'm discovering my serious side."
I think my Joker origin story would be attending one of his parties. Totally. I think I would lose it.
Well, the lawyer representing the Sierra Leone government, quote, "The fraud element has been dropped, and it is part of the litigation. But as far as we're concerned, the case is very much alive. It is premature for him to be blowing his trumpet about it."
Oh.
Yeah. They claimed breach of contract against him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was because he didn't find suitable alternative accommodations for the High Commission like he said he would.
Oh, okay.
So without 33 Portland Place, they relocated to an office above a really busy tube station.
Oh, no.
And it was just, you know.
Yeah.
Horrible. He settled out of court with the government for an undisclosed sum, and the British government offered to buy a new building for Sierra Leone's High Commission. Davenport gets left with the remainder of the lease, and he acquired the whole thing in 2005. So, yeah. And he made the most of it, right?
Sure.
He's got 33 Portland Place. He throws parties there. He hosts fashion shoots.
Oh.
And he would lend it out for filming.
What a guy.
The parties there were legendary.
How so?
Boy George had his 40th birthday party there in 2001.
Okay.
The Rothschild family rented it out for a soiree attended by Princes William and Harry in 2005.
Some of my favorite people.
Celebrities flocked to the place.
Yes.
Friend of the show, Paris Hilton.
Oh, yes.
Cher, Naomi Campbell, Hugh Grant, Heidi
Klum. We got to do a Naomi Campbell story.
Yeah, we really do.
Sorry.
Kate Moss, Ronnie Wood, Vivian Westwood, Keira Knightley. He also rented out the space.
No Rod Stewart? I would imagine him there.
I mean, come on, just kicking soccer balls all over the place. He rented the space out for pole dancing lessons.
The pink. This is the pink effect.
That's the total pink effect. They're all doing like that scarf work.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging on the fabric.
You're dropping down out of the sky on a rope.
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
She shot her rehab video at the property.
Oh, Amy.
No. It was used as Lionel Logue's clinic in the movie The King's Speech.
Ah.
And then there was the steamy stuff I promised you up at
top. Steamy.
A lot of porn was filmed there.
Of course.
Yeah. And then he threw these VIP masked orgies there.
Oh, God.
It cost you 90 quid to get in. And apparently these were really popular with like celebs and royals because everyone had to be masked up and not in like a COVID stop the spread KN95.
Totally.
Eyes wide shut, freaky business. I'm kind of hoping that some of them wore the scarier Venetian masks.
Oh, with the long nose.
The plague doctors.
Yeah,
or some
exactly.
of them like just the regular when you're in Venice and you see them, you're like, that's really disturbing.
The ones, yeah, some of them look like, not like the opera glass where you're holding the stick that keeps the mask by your eyes. I don't mean those, but some of the black ones. It's like leather and the slits are small.
That's what I'm saying. It's terrifying.
Like, is he here to kill me?
I just hope that that's what they wore to the orgies.
You like that
look
for them.
Have a little fun, guys.
Yeah, I get it.
Freaks. and so anyway, or you know what they could wear is my old man latex mask.
That would be good.
I've told you about it. It looks so real.
Yeah, it scares people.
And it would be amazing in an orgy.
You said wear a mask.
Yeah.
Is this not good?
Or maybe the sloths dancers can wear it. But like, I may wear it next time we record.
Okay, scary.
But here's the problem. It smells like bad chemicals.
Oh,
so I try not to wear it too much.
It off-gasses chemicals because it's made like...
It's like 3 years, 4 years old and it's still off-gassing. Anyway, orgies. So the general manager of the property, Frederick Porter,
sure.
He said when he's talking about filming the King's Speech, quote, "Everyone in the film industry knows what goes on in there. Everybody would like to be at one of those parties. They're all very well-run events. The people who are invited are all like-minded. There were no sex parties while filming was going on, of course, when he's talking about King's Speech. An anonymous local said, quote, "The room where Colin Firth has all his elocution lessons is exactly the same room where sex parties and porn discos have been held. For such a royal film, it certainly isn't a very regal setting."
I need to tell them about Hollywood business.
Porn discos, dude?
Yes. Come on now. Come on. Do you also know about the royals? Because they're kind of kinky.
They're the ones there. It is a very regal setting.
Yes, probably the most regal setting there could be.
So Davenport, he puts it this way, quote, "You can call me flamboyant and an opportunist, and I suppose I am a bit flash, but I'm trying to create an image of someone who can deliver on an international scale. People in Hong Kong and China are going to expect you to have some kind of presence. So when they go to my website and they see my title and the pictures of all the celebrities who have genuinely been to my house and said hi to me, they're going to take me seriously.
These celebs have said hi to me. These other people are not going to take me seriously.
I want to be taken seriously because I saw Tyne Daly in person at a distance.
I do take you seriously for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Westminster City Council, they fought him over and over about noise violations and disturbing the peace at 33 Portland Place.
The moan's getting too loud?
Oh, God. At one point, they took him to high court for misusing the property.
Ah.
Why?
Why, Elizabeth?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, planning officers showed up at the mansion on December 9th, 2009. And you know what? Let's go there with them.
Okay.
Zarin, close your eyes.
Oh, yeah. My eyes are closed.
I want you to picture it. You are a Westminster City Council planning officer. Mm. You're a proper fellow. Shined shoes, crisp shirt. You take yourself and your job and your duties seriously.
Rightio.
You've been dispatched to 33 Portland Place. It's a notorious address in your office. So many complaints have been filed. The place is a headache. But it's also notorious because you've heard all about the celebrities and the orgies, and you've always kind of hoped to be sent out to the location someday. That day is today's errand. You and two other officers stand at the front door of 33 Portland Place. It's a brick sandstone affair. You can hear the thumping of club music, laughter, and the occasional drunken whoop and scream of delight coming from inside. You knock on the front door, hoping someone will hear it. You peer down over the iron railings into the basement entrance area below. You expect to see discarded panties or something, but it's neat as a pin. You knock on the glossy black door again, this time opening and slamming the mail slot in hopes that's louder than your pounding fist. Finally, a man opens the door. As it opens, the party noise becomes a little bit clearer, but you can still tell that it's coming from one of the lower floors. This place has 5 stories. He's holding a stack of what looks like flyers. "Ticket," he says in a drawl. "Ticket," you respond. "Yeah, got a ticket?" No, you tell him. "Get one online, £6.50. He hands you a flyer. You pull out your council officer ID and tell him that's your ticket. The other officers follow suit. You all feel so cool right now. The man steps aside and you see people milling about, all manner of designer duds. This is a commercial endeavor, not a private party at a private residence. You're positive. This is exactly what the neighbors and the council are trying to put an end to. You and the other officers head downstairs following the music. You push through the crowd to get to what looks like the main attraction. There's a swimming pool the length of a long room. Along one wall are a series of alcoves containing conversation pits, low sectionals surrounding low coffee tables. The lights are low, too. But you can see everything. And you can see the pool water is a dark amber.
Ooh.
That's a lot of pee. Surely, this is a health code violation. You push past a camera crew and you see someone dunk a glass into the pool water and take a long sip.
Hello.
You can smell the waves of alcohol coming off the pool. That's not pee. The pool is filled with Cavassier.
What?
It's filled with 1,000 liters of cognac.
What?
You've seen enough. You and the other officers push back out through the party and step out into the cool air of Portland Place. You have to put a stop to this. So, the council, they got an enforcement notice on Davenport. He was found to have breached it in 2006.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, the high court judge issued a permanent ban on the use of the house for non-residential purposes.
Okay.
In March of 2011, Davenport asked a court of appeal to overturn the ruling, And the next month, he lost that appeal.
Oh.
So with that in mind, let's take a break and listen to the dulcet tones of a seemingly endless series of ads. And when we come back, I'll let you in on Fast Eddie's big con.
Rightio.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Edward Ormus Sherrington Davenport. Edward Davenport. Fast Eddie.
Lord D.
Lord Eddie. He threw parties. Mm-hmm. He cheated the country of Sierra Leone out of their embassy. And then he went straight up con.
How so?
Classic con. So from 2007 to 2009, he ran a fake finance company called Gresham.
Gresham.
You know, there's a legitimate wealth management advisory firm called Gresham Financial.
I was wondering. It's like, that sounds familiar.
It sounds good. Well, that's what, that was his goal.
That's what he was going for.
Because it's not the same thing. He purposely wanted that confusion. So he said that they'd been trading since 1958, but it was just a shell company that he bought and renamed in 2005.
That had been opened in 1958 or something?
No.
Oh, he just lied about that.
He pulled that out of, you know, all sorts of stuff.
I thought it was one of those things where you bought an old company and said, we've been doing this since 1958.
No, he pulled it out of his tutor.
Ah, yes.
So they had, like, fake account information, brochures. He put ads in the Financial Times and other newspapers to give it credibility.
Smart.
Gresham.
Yeah.
And then he used it using an alias. He never put his name.
Oh, once again. Yeah, of course.
So
still gangster about it.
Gresham said that they would provide financing for projects that, like, traditional banks weren't willing to back. Mavericks, risk takers.
Oh, of course.
We're here for
you.
Yeah. So if a real bank is like, you're a little bit shady. Come on this way. So the investment requests, they come rolling in. Davenport and his co-conspirators, Borj Anderson. And Peter Riley.
Okay.
They said, we are pledging billions in funds for all these projects. Your projects are fantastic.
Pledging.
And there's, you deserve all the money. So it's, they got a bunch of people, $1 million for you, $10 million
yes.
for you.
Pledged.
Problem is, the loans were never advanced, of course, because there weren't the billions.
But they were pledged, Elizabeth.
I made a pledge. I made a solemn promise. They made their money because here they have no money to give out.
I'm
guessing. How are they making money? Because these people are begging for money.
Yeah.
They charged the businesses, quote unquote, deposits and fees for, quote, verification fees for a loan guarantee and then another due diligence cost.
Classic fraud. I want to give you money, but I just need to do a couple tests.
Tens of thousands here, maybe 50,000 there. The businesses, these are victims. They paid the deposits and the advance fees and the due diligence.
Cost of doing business, all that.
And then Davenport and his little minions, they kept it all with nothing in return. So Gresham, the business is about to be exposed. So Davenport closes up shop, starts another fake finance company, and this one he calls Cutting and Company.
As in what he does.
Yeah, right? Cutting and Running. The Serious Fraud
Cutting
Office.
Cutting and Running would be a great name right? for a business.
SFO, like the airport, but not an airport. Serious Fraud Office.
Okay.
They're like, you know, buddies with the flying...
Flying squad?
Squad. I almost said the flying nun.
flying circus. The flying nun.
So the SFO, they're looking into 10 cases of people who were offered billions in loans by Gresham.
Mm-hmm.
Just the tip of the iceberg. So it's just, we're taking the top 10 of these.
That's a costly tip.
The 10 biggest. These 10 were promised loans totaling £500 million. And then Davenport and the co-conspirators, they promised to finance more than 50 commercial loans.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the victims went bankrupt.
I imagine.
They had their professional reputations absolutely destroyed.
Totally.
No jobs.
I imagine there were some divorces, some like, you know.
Some people had full breakdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they ruined lives. Elizabeth Emanuel, a 58-year-old fashion designer, she is the one who created Princess Di's wedding dress.
Mm.
That big,
big white
parfait
number.
Of fluff.
I'm going to pretend like I know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, remember it was like huge ruffles and
I
big
don't, but I remember
shoulders.
Storybook. I
yeah,
know that.
It's very
I know that she, yes, she's got like the big shoulders. I yeah. do know that. Princess style.
She was one of Gresham's victims.
Oh, no.
She needed £1 million investment for her company.
Mm-hmm.
And all she had left was £5,000 to her name, sum total. So she puts up 65% of her company in exchange for the loan. You know, that's my collateral. Gresham was like, but you know what? I need the due diligence money on this, and it's going to cost you £20,000 before we can carry
out
a deal.
She only has five.
Yeah, she only has five. She had lost the right to trade under her own name because she had a falling out with her business partner.
Oh.
And so if she could get the funding, she could keep the company.
Okay.
Keep her livelihood. Keep the legacy of Diana's wedding dress. So she handed over the last £5,000 to her name.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that that would be enough due diligence money.
Of the $20,000 that he's waiting for.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So he strings her along
I was just about to say,
for
that
months.
Ain't, yep, that ain't gonna play.
And then he pulls out of the deal and he kept the five grand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But SFO was watching and building a case. Yeah. And he was arrested and charged with fraud.
Oh.
Prosecutor Simon Mayo said to the court, quote, "To outward appearances, it was long established, wealthy, and prestigious. That image, however, deliberately cultivated by these defendants was entirely false. In truth, it was a company which had only been set up by Edward Davenport in late 2005. It was essentially worthless. Its only business was fraud. Davenport was Gresham's ringmaster and guiding light. He avoided wherever possible dirtying his hands through direct engagement with victims and even resorted to using a false name, James Stewart, to keep his real name secret."
James Stewart isn't like the king, the Bonnie in, King.
Or Jimmy.
Yeah, or Jimmy Stewart. Oh, yeah, there's that too.
So on October 5th, 2011, he's convicted for conspiracy to defraud and sentenced to 7 years, 8 months in jail. Peter Riley, he's guilty of the same charges, same sentence. Borge Anderson, he's convicted on conspiracy charges.
Okay.
And so the woman, Emmanuel, the dress designer.
Yeah, the dress. Diana's dressmaker.
Yeah, quote, "It caused a lot of problems for me and my business, not just the money, but keeping me hanging on when I could have been looking for other investors.
Exactly.
I was just a little struggling company, and to drag away my last £5,000 is only something a very mean and horrible person would do. I'm thrilled he has gone down."
Yeah.
Yeah. So January 11th, 2014, 47-year-old Fast Eddie
mm-hmm.
gave an interview to...
Daily Mail.
There it is.
Yes.
From his bed at St. George's Hospital in South London. Which, by the way, look at us. Like, we have so much serendipity in our weeks mm-hmm. lately, like compendiums and now British. Anyway, that's
totally.
Interesting.
So, in the Daily Mail.
This is what he tells the Daily Mail. Quote, "I was diagnosed with a defective kidney when I was about 15 and had my first transplant about 15 years ago. I never told anyone about it as it didn't really fit in with my image. But over the past few years, it became apparent that the kidney was not working anymore. I was in prison and feeling ill. I'd been on the NHS donor list for another transplant for ages, and then my name came up just before Christmas. I think somebody had a tragic accident and lost their life. Before that, I was traveling to St. George's, chained up with three prison officers, three times a week for dialysis. It was an ordeal for them and me." Okay.
Yeah. So he's trying to now get sympathy by pretending to be, or not pretending, but at least letting it be known that he has suffered through something.
Yeah. I'm really fascinated with him saying that it didn't match his image.
Yes. That's
like, that's a good insight.
You know what his image is? Somebody who would buy one of those kidneys that was taken out of someone against their will and they were left in a motel tub with ice. That's what his image is.
100%. But it wouldn't have, like, the right tag on it. Although I love that he's like, I might get it. Someone died in a tragic accident.
Yeah, he dropped that one
only
in there,
for
oddly.
Me.
Yeah.
So he almost received a transplant twice.
Okay.
But the operations were canceled
they
the
missed.
Last minute.
They missed? Like,
yeah, right? With these operation cancellations and, like, he had a bad case of pneumonia. He had complications involving his liver. Hmm. He did eventually receive another transplant, and then he needed ongoing treatment afterward. And so with that in mind, his lawyers asked the court to show mercy. They said his medical condition meant that he had to serve his time in more punishing conditions than he would have otherwise have done.
Sure.
So the judge
called prison. Yes, we
ordered
know.
Him released early, and he was freed May of 2014.
What? Why? Because he has like immune suppressive drugs for the
so.
Transplant? Like,
well,
what's the deal?
When he gets out, he is far from an invalid who wanted to shy away from attention.
I bet his image was fine.
Oh, yeah. He got involved in property deals with a Chinese business partner. He made it known that he wanted to go like buy a film studio. And what of his money, right?
What of his money,
well,
Elizabeth?
The government wanted it.
I want it for them.
They kicked off confiscation proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
Those June 19th, 2013. He's still locked up when that all started.
Okay.
So all told, through all of his schemes, he made about 34.5 million pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's not a bad empire.
So he argued, though, that through his lawyers, because he's in jail, that he should only have to repay 8 million.
What?
He said that's all he really got from it. And then there's 33 Portland Place.
Yes.
So the government was like, you got that through fraud. We want it. By October 2015, he's out of prison and he's fighting the SFO.
Sure.
He said that he had been the victim of double counting by them.
He's constantly victimized.
Yeah, in its confiscation and compensation order. So they said they'd recovered more than 13 million pounds from Davenport.
Mm-hmm.
His lawyer said that was way too much and went beyond the order.
Okay.
He said Davenport got 12 million from fraud, but had to pay 14 million. So the court eventually sides with Fast Eddie on that one. Where is he now?
Where is he now, Elizabeth,
since he's
avoided justice?
He's alive.
Okay.
He has a website,
The
Davenport Trust.
Uh-huh.
It is full of photos with him posing with celebrities.
And have they aged appropriately?
Mick Jagger. Well, okay. they're not a lot of recent photos.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger.
Okay.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Uh-huh.
The American Idol host guy with the nipples. Jerry Hall. Harry Potter.
One of the Gallagher brothers?
No. Dita Von Teese.
Yeah.
The Osborne mom.
Oh, God.
Captain Picard.
Uh-huh.
Michael Caine, who looks like he has no idea who this guy is.
He probably doesn't.
Someone with big bangs.
Okay.
Ronnie Woods. 50 Cent.
Oh, jeez.
Naomi Campbell. A blonde who looks like Gwyneth Paltrow. Paltrow and the Project Runway lady, but also like neither of them.
Okay.
So the
Heidi Paltrow.
Well, yeah. So the pictures, they're on a scroll and I was just like typing names as they went past. It's a fun game. You should try it.
Okay.
So there's a link to a Vice documentary on his website.
I love Vice documentaries.
And it called him the Wolf of the West End. He has a link.
That's too
website.
Cool for him. Wolf of the West End.
He has a dead link to the King's Speech and he has like pictures from a Kate Moss photo shoot.
He should be like the underground rat or, you know, subway rat of the.
I really want to read you his whole biography.
Please
that he
don't.
Posted, but I'm not. I'm just going to hit you with the opening.
Okay. Hit me with the highlights.
Edward Davenport has played host to some of the most glamorous and best known faces in the world. A businessman renowned for taking chances and living a life full of adventure. He is one of Britain's most flamboyant entrepreneurs. A man who has earned his own wealth. Davenport enjoys the rewards his successes bring, living the high life in London, rubbing shoulders with celebrity friends such as David Beckham, Naomi Campbell, and 50 Cent. He has a jet, beautiful homes, and a collection of sports cars, which would make any man jealous. A regular feature on the social pages and in the rich lists of newspapers and magazines, Davenport was recently the subject of a profile published by the London Evening Standard, which describes him as, quote, tall, slim, and Draculine, with a penchant for sharp suits and Rolex watches.
Do you remember Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach?
Yes.
Remember how he was just like a barnacle on the wealthy?
Yes.
That's what this guy is, but the barnacle isn't willing to just sit there. It wants to be the boat owner.
He wants to be the ship.
Yeah.
This bio is unhinged.
It's ridiculous.
And there's no mention of his time in the clink or like his kidney issues.
Of course
issues.
Not, but no. Definitely some Naomi Campbell.
And he makes sure to
know David Beckham.
He's worth more than $100 million.
Yeah.
So he cheats all these people and he comes out on top.
Oh, yes. And also he's cheating them out of like 5,000 pounds to get this $100 million. Like he's taking like, he's not taking down big targets.
So 33 Portland Place is for sale, by the way.
Right now?
Yeah, it's listed on Sotheby's Realty.
How much is it worth?
75 million pounds.
Oh,
which for
Lord.
Us Yanks is almost $95 million.
Okay, so it's just out of my price range.
Just, yeah. Okay. I mean, well, you know, we'll pool it together. Yeah. It's been renovated once again.
Uh-huh.
And so it's very sleek and modern inside.
Oh.
I was going to watch the listing video.
Of course you were.
But I only got a little ways into it. And then I got so pissed off. I had to turn it off.
There you go. There's the Zarin energy.
Make it out of like the
what
first
the?
Room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Zarin, what's your ridiculous takeaway?
Oh,
oof,
I was afraid
asking.
You were going to ask me that. Yes, my ridiculous takeaway is this guy who hosts faces and rubs shoulders. How is it this always works? Like,
I know
he's sitting there telling Daily Mail, like I'm basically, you know, conning these people in Asia by pretending I know these things and I position myself. He's just giving away the game and it still works. Like, I wish that the bad magicians didn't get so much applause. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not a good trick he's doing.
Well, there's like a sociopathy to it where it's
like, definitely that, yeah.
The absolute no remorse.
Yeah.
He's just like this shark swimming through the water. It doesn't, like you're saying, taking someone's last 5,000.
Doing the old tradition of British exploitation. Mm-hmm. It's like he's
to rule Britannia.
Yeah, seriously. It's like the worst of that.
Yeah, it is. And I am so I shouldn't be flabbergasted because it's too common, but the superficiality of it all, that like he can't let a kidney, issue taint this like, you know, crazy image that he has cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like everything is at a surface level. You know,
totally.
I've had all these people in my house and I've seen their faces. It's not like,
I've
oh,
said
these are
hi
my close...
to these stars. They've said hi to me.
Yeah, these are my close confidants. And you can tell from the pictures, it's like you're at a party and you lean in and like, hey, take a picture.
It's all surface. And then sex parties.
And then orgies.
Yeah, it's like either like you're in me or you're looking at my surface. That's it. It's just all surface.
Oh, that's it. I can't talk about him anymore today. He's a horrible person.
Yeah, that was no fun.
Like, he starts like, out kind of fun, too.
Totally. You think it's going to be
like
this rollicking ride.
Oh, shagadelic, baby.
Yeah.
No.
And then all of a sudden.
And you're like, God.
I'm like,
humans are terrible. You can
tell the prince to put his clothes back on and go back to Buckingham Palace.
Take off the Hitler outfit. You can find us online at ridiculouscrime.com. We are also at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter, Instagram. You can email us at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. No one will answer you. Leave us a talk back at the iHeart. We have fired like 6 interns over the email thing.
Let go. I mean, fired. You act like they're interns.
Yeah,
we just told them, don't come back.
I bake stuff for them and they love it.
Well, producer Dave's super cool with them. I'm just the only one who's a jerk. I'm like, oh, are you new here? They're like, I've been here for a year. I'm like, whatever. I'll learn your name when it's 2 years.
No one wants to answer the emails. Leave a talk back on the iHeart app.
Yes.
Reach out.
What's also interesting, though, is that all of our interns being dogs also kind of helps things.
That's a huge problem.
I mean, then they said they don't even listen.
Huge problem. That's it. Oh, hey, wait. Dave, do we have any talkbacks?
Talkbacks.
Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hey guys, love your show. My wife and I want to just point out that Elvis had black hair because he really liked Captain Atom. Captain Marvel, sorry. Captain Marvel, not Captain Adam. The guy currently known as Shazam. And dude really liked his comic books. It's really cute, actually. Don't like the guy, but I think that's kind of cute, right?
I think it's cute.
Oh, talkbacks. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Sir David Couston, 3rd Earl of Flavortown. Research is by Marissa Romblefield Harrogate Brown and Andrea Fittington Kettleston Song Charpentier. The theme song is by Thomas Brongle Sutterton Lee and Travis Butterchief Toxington Ferrywell Dutton. Host wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Benjamin Gollington Hammerfield Bolin and Noel Chamberwell Chattington Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.